hello once again. You're with Doug and the Cosmic Poet Show.
If anybody would like that poetry read online, and we encourage it, because poetry is one of those artistic endeavors I can never get too much of. I love reading other people's poetry, and I truly like to share it online, on air, with other people. The place where you could go to write your poetry and to put it up so I can read it will be Authors Inkwell, Authors, A-U-T-H, like in an author, authors with an S, inkwell.com. And that'll take you to the place where you can post your poetry, and hopefully I do a good job reading it. Okay, what is that number that the people need to call in on, Don? Here, just check. I'm just starting the show, so I don't know all the numbers yet, but here it is. If you'd like to call in, we can put you online, and you can read your poetry online with me here. Matter of fact, that's probably a preferable method, simply because the inflections will be true to the author of the poem, which is just what we like to see. The number is 888-268-4313. And if it's busy, just keep trying. There's a poem I wrote. Boy, this must have been, I'd say about 20 years ago, when I first started to write poetry. And it was a poem that I wrote because I saw my mother and father love us with such, my mother's a mother, Teresa. You couldn't get better than my mother. She'll give you everything. She'll never buy herself anything. I've never seen her buy herself anything in her 70 some odd years of life. She gives away everything, and her heart is just always there. Same with my father. And so I wrote this poem. It's Words to a Son. Son, these words sound about you, now more than ever before. Amorously too, harmonious sweet embraced one, its song never done, but you've changed up the rhythms and tunes. Son, I am proud of you, young man, stand tall, know all and be you, and let me love you for that. This is who you are to me, meant to be, who is and will always be. Son, I rejoice to see a mind full of wit, guided by rhythms and words taught by mom. Eclectic, erratic, fantastic, outspoken at times, but perfect and fine. Growing in love for me, I see, I witness it all. The frequency startles me, amazes me at times. Son, you are gifted and special and rare, and for everything be thankful to God. You were meant to be, son to me, and I'm proud as ever a father can be. And son, you love me too. I hope that touched a spot in everybody's heart. A lot of the poems that I've written over the years, I get in the mood, 3 or 4 months will go by, something catastrophic will happen in my life, and I'll just have to write about it, or I'll just be compelled. And usually these words and works just take a few minutes. And I'm finding, as I'm reading other people's brilliant works, that it doesn't take them much time at all. As a matter of fact, there's one gentleman, his name is Wynn, he's on the Wynn, Don and Wynn show. Winfrey, I love that name, Winfrey. One of the nicest men you'll ever meet. This is a man that really has a heart like a saint. You could call him a friend's friend. His mission in life is to help the world. And he wrote a poem that's called The Meek. God bless the innocent, the naive, the gullible, the meek. The world is waiting to rape and plunder them, like lambs to the slaughter, they readily give up whatever they have to the next person. The next well-spoken, sweet-talking, manipulative bastard who's learned to cloak his evil intentions beneath his seductive persona. The innocent, the naive, the gullible, the meek, see only the cheese until the trap snaps and they are caught. And when nothing is left to be taken from them, they are abandoned and left to bleed. They are no longer the innocent, the naive, the gullible, the meek. They have joined a new club, the victimized, the embittered, the deeply wounded, afraid to trust, afraid to love, withdrawing into the agony of their isolation, entering the dark night of their soul. Hopefully they will contemplate their weaknesses and understand their pain. If they truly succeed, they will become members of yet a new club. They will understand the discernment and wisdom. God bless the innocent, the naive, the gullible, and the meek. Perhaps the meek really shall inherit the earth, but not right now. Only after they've walked through the fires of hell, learned to stand up against the corrupt and recognize evil for what it is, only then shall the earth be theirs. The irony is that they are no longer meek, and they no longer want the earth. They are already moving on to other worlds, other dimensions. But that's okay. There's a new crop of fresh-faced innocents ready to take their place. Wow. I mean, that was quite a poem. Wynn, we thank you for putting that up on Authors Inkwell. AuthorsInkwell.com. Should anybody be interested? I would love to read your work. I'd love to have you read your work online to all the listeners. The number once again is 888-268-4313. Now, since my hour show, I can talk about a lot of different things. And it's not just going to be about poetry. It's going to be about some matters that are spiritual. Things that I would really like to think need to be said, but more along the lines of an uplifting message. But poetry, in many ways, can be uplifting, and so can short discourses of information. And just like the poetry that I write, this information, I think, speaks to a broad range of people, and I'd like to share a couple of those things with you today. On Blogging Service and BBS Radio, you can go to a link. It's called The Daily Trial. It's something that I write. I try to write them every day, but sometimes I get so busy doing a lot of different things for BBS Radio that I don't often get the opportunity to compose something. And that's probably because for the past couple of months I've moved to Paradise, California with my brother. Love it here, by the way. Paradise, it truly is paradise. It just took a couple of months to get situated and get everything to the point where we are here now. So we have a lot of catch-up work to do. And until that's all done, it's going to be, you know, touch and go there for me till to write these daily trials. But I'm going to read a couple that I've written already. This is probably one of my favorite trials. And it's basically my thoughts on what creation would say to somebody. And it goes like this. It doesn't say anywhere, as a tenant of some higher dictate, thou must work to have value. Do you feel guilty if you don't accomplish things, anything, past, present, or future in your life? It doesn't say anywhere, as a tenant of some higher dictate, thou must punish thyself in any way. Do you feel guilt for any reason whatsoever? Why? Now creation responds. Because nobody told you the truth every time. You are perfect. Don't forget where you came from. It's exactly what you are. There can be only one, you, infinitely larger than you know yourself at this time. When you remember who you are, your love will embrace your part, more of yourself. Love is fundamental. It's the highest order of expression. Love everything. By my loving you, I love myself. Love all others as I do. It's the bigger part of yourself. There's so many people who need to hear that. You know, we feel in our day-to-day lives that we have to get things accomplished. We have to do something for somebody or for ourselves, or we have to make the next buck. We have to take care of something, and that puts stress on us. But it doesn't say anywhere, not even in the Bible, folks, you have to work to have value. I want somebody to tell me I'm wrong. Go out there and show me some great, masterful work set down by the sages through the ages that tells you you have to work to have value. And then, what's more than that, we punish ourselves. But it doesn't say anywhere that you have to accomplish anything so you don't have to punish yourself. But you still feel guilty. We feel guilt. Why? Why? Because inside, even though we are perfect, everybody is perfect. Everything, every atom, every molecule, every snowflake is perfect. It's just how do you see yourself? That really defines you. And you see yourself how the rest of the world sees you as well, and how you view the rest of the world and how you see yourself. But if the world doesn't begin to tell you, you're perfect all the time. When you're a boy, you should hear these words, you're perfect, you're perfect, you're perfect, so often that you understand that. When Krishan says, don't forget where you came from, it's exactly what you are. You are. You always have been. You always will be. You can't be destroyed. You can only change. That's the only constant. Change. So you are what you are. And that's where you came from. From the same substance of as everything else. And then, when creation says there can only be one, you infinitely larger than you know yourself at this time, that's true. There can only be one. You want to imagine God, folks? Just imagine you standing in front of yourself, infinitely bigger than yourself. Looks just like you. Like you're looking in a mirror. The only difference is you're now a speck, and you, that larger self, is infinite in size. There's God. That's you. And when you understand that, you will know yourself. Because there is only one. The only difference is that you, that high, encompasses me as well. It encompasses a lot of other things. And the higher you get, the bigger you get, the more you attract like, and you swell in that, you become a part of everything more and more and more, and you are aware of that part of you. And you can exist simultaneously on all parts of yourself. Don't think you can't. Just in this particular realm of physicality, we don't believe we can. So we don't even try. That's one of the keys, folks. Meditate. Go on the inside. Start to deal with the other dimensions. They're wonderful, they're fantastic, and they'll open up your mind and your spirit and your heart to new levels that are just unimaginable. Okay. I would like to go back to another poem. This is a particular poem that I found so brilliant. I was just simply amazed when I read it. It's posted by Dr. Valerie. She posted it on March 20th. And I know she writes the poems in a matter of seconds, because she's even sent me an email stating she's surprised at how fast she does write her poetry. And she used to write a lot more poetry when she was younger, and only now is taking it back up again. So, Dr. Valerie, I encourage you, continue. I love your poetry. I will read all your works, given the time. He goes, often I wonder, is it just me? How does this all work? Am I me, or I, or thee? How many of me are there? Now do I call us we? And how many times we become me? Over and again, I wonder, is it just me? How lonely did I get to think up this game, to decide to be one, then two, yet again? And how many of thee want to become one with me? Or is it I, or us, or the Trinity? So again, I ask, as I've throughout time? Am I me, or me, or I, or thee? Maybe it's just me.
Dr. Valerie, that was, I mean, if you just spun that out of the top of your head, I'm amazed. It's catchy, it's lyrical, and it's beautiful. And I'm looking forward to reading more of your poetry. This was a poem that I wrote, and I posted it to Authors Inkwell. And I wrote this, I think I was of the age of 19 years old, so about half the years back. And I wrote it thinking about my brother, because I have a twin brother, Donald, and myself. We founded BBS Radio, and we've got a brilliant group of people that work with us hand and foot, that teach us. And it's so exciting. But we are very, very close, as twins, you can expect, usually are. Very, very, very close. I guess when we were younger, we could hear the other one cry out in pain if something went wrong. I know we matured very slowly, which was a bummer. We didn't learn how to speak properly until we were at the age of 5, and my mother actually put chicken coop wire over our cribs so we wouldn't jump out of our cribs at the age of 2, crawl out, up, and out. And you can imagine this crib was probably 4 feet high, right? 3.5 feet high. So imagine a baby, even younger than 2, maybe my mom says under a year, but it's just hard to believe, crawling out of our cage, and then crawling up into the other cage and falling on the other one, making him scream. Well, this is what we did, folks. Matter of fact, if you tried to spank one of us, look out, because the other one would be behind you with anything or to whack you with. You had to watch your ankles. You had to watch every part of you if you were going to spank my brother, because I was going to get you. So this poem was written because of my understanding of my brother and how close he got inside of my heart and what that really meant. And it connected us in a way, and this is the poem that I wrote. Hello, my only brother. I see you found a home. Beneath this flesh of many years you've roamed. And how well I see you've settled in. And how well you know the place. I've stored some thoughts of plenty in my fridge for you to taste. Tomorrow I'll be packing all these memories away. But let's drink the tears I've bottled up today. I always loved that poem. There are some poems that I can remember, even though it's just later. Just lyrical, quick little things that I had fun writing. I was a real Denny's nut. I was the sort of guy that would go to university, and I'd sit off in Denny's, and I'd do reading, and I'd study there. And why? Because I needed atmosphere. I didn't need the TV, didn't need the radio like everybody else, didn't need a quiet room. I needed to see people eating and talking in front of me and around me. Then I could study. I don't know why that is. Probably because I always heard my brother screaming in the background whenever I was thinking about something. I don't know. But that's what occurred, and I wrote these in my first couple of years of university, in most cases. Mind you, I've written a few since then. Okay, I want to read this. I love this poem. Again, Dr. Valerie, this is a beautiful poem. My hat's off. Folks, Dr. Valerie is very, very, very brilliant on many levels. She also hosts her own show here on BBS Radio, and I would encourage everybody, to listen to her show. We've got, folks, BBS Radio has 40 shows now, which 45 I've just been told. The two largest radio talk shows in the country that I know of only have a half a dozen, folks. And yet we have 45. And we just started this thing in August. I gotta share a stat with the people out there, because they're never going to believe this. I don't believe this, yet I know this to be a fact. If you were to go to Alexa.com and see Amazon and Alexa, the rating system, and they rate like 3.2 billion web pages, 3 million websites across the continent, and they're the premier site to get data on web statistics. Well, three statistics matter. One, how many people are visiting your website? That's
probably one of the most important statistics to know. Two, what is your rank in size? And three, how many pages does the average viewer look at your website? I think that's the most important. Why? Because if I had a website out there with a billion links and you were hitting me and you clicked through and I saw that there was a website that had an average of 2 page views per viewer, what would I think about the viewer? Well, they got there. They didn't want to stay, right? Well, your average website out there, folks, has about 2.5 page views per viewer. Yahoo, which is a search engine, which is the most page views per website I've ever seen in my life, going through all the different websites, all the different radio look, I don't even know of a radio show that gets over 6. Yahoo gets something like 17 page views per person, which means you're typing, you're clicking through to find out what your information is. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, PBS Radio gets, this past week, on average, 50.7. We average in the high 20 page views per person over a 3-month time frame. That means your average person comes to our website and spends his day there reading material and reading information. That is double as high as any other website, even a search engine, even the number one website in the entire world, folks. So we've got a lot of information here to share with you, and it's exciting. It means you're loyal. I love you all, folks. And what you're making this something, a true spiritual network that is reaching out there and changing lives for people. Changing their lives. Service to other endeavors. And my hat's off. Thank you all for that. But now let's get back to Dr. Valerie's poem. I just love this. She entitled this poem, My Mind. I have a cunning little mind. It goes tick-tock all the time. When I'm awake, it goes to sleep and dreams of luscious things to eat or books and movies, old and new, and of some things I may never do. I have a cunning little mind. It goes tick-tock all the time. I had to read that again. I read that poem last week, but it so tickles me that I had to read it again. I'm going to read another one by Dr. Valerie because her poetry is just that good and needs to be heard, folks. This goes, harmonics, frequency and spinners. Oh my! Quantum physics, the fields upon which they play, newly discovered in this present day. We are in the holograph, and all the world's a stage. And yet, it takes a while before we remember its play. Birth, life, and death, oh my! Our time on Earth dictated by the script, our parts so well memorized, we believe we are the parts we play. And what good complaints, and about what? A play? Remembrance, connection, and love, oh my! How delightful and wondrous this game we have wrought that allows us to become so lost in the thought, to discover the truth that begets bliss and makes the great game much like a kiss. Life, adventure, and love, oh my! Thanks for acting in the play. You're a master, Dr. Valerie, a master. And I have to print these out because I do reread them. I'll go to bed and I'll just sit there and I'll think about these poems. And the more I read them, the more beautiful they are to me. In each of them, there's something to be said about the author. And not only can you feel the author, but you can feel yourself in those poems. Poems are meant to be read, and they chew just like anything: a thought, a sentence, a word, an event, an atom, a love, everything on every level at any time will change you. That's the nature of the only constant law there is, change. But more, there's something that people don't realize. It doesn't just change you. It becomes an extension of you. It becomes a view, and even more so, it's always been a part of you. It's always been an extension of you. The only thing is, you realize it, you remember it, and then it actually is a catalyst to a more significant amount of change. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read a trial. Once again, I think these daily trials, if any, go to bloginservice.com. You can find it from BBS Radio, one of the links, bbsradio.com, one of the links, or blog. Just think blog in service, blog in service to others. It's just a place where you can post your information that's of service to others, bloginservice.com. And click on the daily trial link and read some of those daily trials. Print them all out and read them before you wake up in the, you know, after you wake up in the morning or before you go to bed. Just spend a little bit of quiet time thinking about these sorts of things. It will impact you. It will impact you on a heart level and on a mental level, and they'll join, folks. You will wake up. If you're not awake now, and I think everybody's waking up now, you know, 10 years ago, what was the word spirituality? 20 years ago, 30 years, there's no, I mean, it was out there. But it was the crazy loon in the carnival that was reading your palm. Oh, she's spiritual. That's the gist we all got, right? Or it was some person that thought they could remote view something somewhere, some psychic. Well, that's the idea that the most of the world got about spirituality, and that's just not what spirituality is. Spirituality, that's a part of it, but that's only because it's an extension of the people that understand themselves to a higher level. They gain a sixth sense. We all have it. It's like a dog has instinct. We all have sixth sense. Believe me, I know. I mean, I wouldn't have believed this a year ago. A person would have said to me, psychic, I would have said, ha, 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 ha. And you know, the funny thing is, when I actually had an awakening occur in my body, I was able to remote view. I could see objects that the next day somebody would tell me about in their home. Why? I don't know. Is there any use to that? I don't see any, but I can do it. And because I've awakened various senses within my body. I use different, so you want to know a sense? Here's a sense. You think, oh, well, geez, what's the definition of a sense? Well, I can name to you six senses, right? Well, here's a sense for you. How about living in an environment without time? Ah, does that have a sense? Well, it sure does, because you don't have any time there, so you wouldn't have any sense of time. So now you're using a whole new sense, aren't you? Well, when could we use that sense? We could use it when we're in bed, when we're sleeping, when you're dreaming. There is really no time sense there, is there? Well, that's because you're using a totally different sense. Now try to use that sense when you're awake. That's an example of one sense on the inside. And there's many of them. Another one? How about no space? No space. There's no space between you and I. Well, in your dreams, you sense no space. Space really isn't a distance. There isn't anything like you feel now between objects. So that's a whole other sense, awakening again. You use it when you sleep. Well, try to use it when you're awake. You'll find that you'll be able to do things that'll amaze you. This was a daily trial I wrote just a few weeks ago, and I'd like to read it to you. If every one of your wishes always came true, would you know the value of things you wished for? Would a wish become meaningless? If you were born sucking bliss on tap, and this was all you ever knew from beginning to end, would you know the value of what you had? Would you know desire? If you were born experiencing only absolute love and nothing else, would you know the value of love? Would you think to question? Would it even matter? I say, give me pain so that I may know value, pleasure. Give me death so that I may know life. Give me dark so that I may know light. Give me polarity. You got it. Now give me the wisdom to know the value of what I already have. Recently a lady asked me a question. What can I do? My ex-husband is joint custody of our children, and he's not a kind, caring, or loving person. Well, here's my response to that. Your children will be stronger and wiser as a result of their situation. They will value kindness, care, and love more in life. because they live in a situation which provides the opposite of those qualities. Duality lets us experience both sides of a situation, without which we would not be able to learn why one experience is better than another. Think about that, folks. I locked you into a room, and it was a dark room, and you never knew anything else while you were in this room, and it was always dark. Would you know the value of light? How could you? You've never been in the light before. So in a world of polarity, you get to live both extremes, then you know the value of what you really want to be. So when things bad happen to you, don't look at them like, oh, that sucks. Because if you didn't go through that suck, you wouldn't know why it sucked, would you? So it's a learning experience. That's what life is. Your playground of learning. Just think of your immortal soul knowing you're never going to be able to die. And you knew it at the other end of the equation before you got here. And you said, okay, I'm never going to die. I'm never going to get hurt. I'm perfect as it is. Now I got to learn some lessons. Or learn what the value. Not learn any lessons, but learn why I'm perfect. Because just think of it. Here you are, a part of God. You're absolutely perfect. And you could spend all your eternity being in bliss. Wouldn't that be great, folks? Well, must not have been that great, huh? Because being that, if you didn't know the value of being there, then you'd want to know why. And you know what? We get an infinity of time to realize why it's so beautiful to get back to bliss. I would rather be the man here now, going through these lessons, or I'd still be on a tap on bliss, not knowing why it was important or what value it had to me, and not enjoy the experience of knowing why. It'd be like having all the answers, and the next answer wouldn't mean anything to you. Why? We'd have no sense of discovery. We'd have no need for change. Change wouldn't be important. Discovery wouldn't be important. Your name wouldn't even be there. Sooner or later, folks, your name really doesn't become important because you integrate with more of yourself, but that's a whole other subject matter. Now, let's get back to another poem. This particular poem I wrote, I think I wrote it because I was a little bit saddened over a relationship that went south. And all of us have had these moments in our times, in our life, when a relationship goes south. So I wasn't in the greatest of mood when I wrote it, but I'm going to share it. Just to throw something like this out there, because I want everybody out there to know that you can share any kind of poem with me on air. And once again, I'll give you that number. It's 888-268-4313. You know, there must be a lot of people out there that are a little bit particular or shy or worried or scared about different things. And one of the things we get shy and worried and scared about is putting our neck out there, standing up on the pulpit or the soapbox, and allowing other people to view what it is we've done or who we are or what we look at or look like. And it stops us. That fear stops us. Please don't have any fear here, folks. I'm a blathering idiot. I'm your cosmic poet. I've got good in me. I got bad in me. I got up in me and I got down in me. I got it all. So whatever you bring to this forum, we're going to enjoy reading it. I'm definitely going to enjoy having you on air. We'll have a few laughs if it sucks. And then I'll read you one of mine that even sucks worse. Okay? So give it a call. Or just post your work to authorsinkwell.com. Okay, the poem. This is called Goodbye. This was to the lady that I was so enamored with, but eventually that relationship went south. Finally, a day without regret, without worry, whether to do a deed or dare a word, and no doubts. No fleeting service fare or lust or care. Too many trials, tests of will, gains, hills to climb, the cost too high, the end forewarned, a repertoire, an instant change now mark the man scorned. Strength is what you value, Well, no more giving, but this gift I'll imbue, you reap what you sow, and though lone and low, my shoulders now are straight, my mind's eye true, I look on high, goodbye. Well, you can see my poetry takes in all forms and fashions. Some of them actually don't have any meter or rhyme. They don't use alliteration or personification or metaphors to make their point. Poetry can be anything. In today's world, poetry comes in such a variety of form that what poetry is today, really, I don't even know if it can be defined. I'd like to think that poetry is a musing of thought put on paper that can transport the reader or the listener to a situation that the author had in mind. And though it might not be coherent, that mind that brought the situation to us, at least it transports us somewhere else, somewhere in time. You know, I often tell people, one of the most important qualities in life is humor. Do you want to know why? That everybody probably has their own understanding as to why humor is so important. One, it might cure you. Cures what ails you. Humor is important because in the minute that you and somebody else laughs, that you both join. It's like you tend in the minute. It takes you out of a time and space context. Isn't that interesting? Think of that for a moment. Laughter. In that minute, took you someplace else. It actually is something higher. Your spiritual form desires that laughter. Laughter really can cure you. If you're six, folks, just put on the Three Stooges for about a year. You know, watch them over and over again. Put on Lucille Ball. I don't care what you're reading. The Honeymooners. I love those guys. But humor can cure what ails you, and it connects people in the moment, right now, which is all we really have. Past and present don't really exist. We have the now, and that's why humor is so important. So if anybody's got any really humorous, funny poems out there, we would definitely like to read them on air. You know, going to bloginservice.com and bbsradio.com, there are a lot of different sites for everybody to look through. But one of the sites I also look through that's along the daily trials is the Daily Quote. Yes, we have a Daily Quote and we have a Daily Trial section. The Daily Quotes are written by a wonderful spirit. Oh my goodness. I mean a beautiful spirit. A lady of such depth and warmth and persona. I'm sure you couldn't help but be changed by her very presence. Her words are magical in that they bring a higher aspect to your being when you read them. And I would encourage every single person, if you don't read the Daily Trials, read the Daily Quote. Okay? They only take you 1 minute when you wake up. Just go there. Bookmark it and read these Daily Quotes and Daily Trials. You might laugh, you might cry, something might dawn on you, you might go, but it will make your day a little bit brighter. I would like to read to you the Daily Quote that was written today by Denise Nelson. It goes, and it's entitled, "The Rose That You Are." As I glanced outside my window, my eyes fell upon the sight of my glorious yellow rose bush. One bush with many buds getting ready to bloom. One of the finest lost its life today as its leaves fell to the ground. I saw life. I am the bush. Many aspects of myself represented by the largest and strongest of the buds and by the tiniest, most delicate. Many buds, one bush. Some buds are almost ready to bloom. One is in full bloom now. One left this world today. All aspects of the one, some coming, some going, some delicate, some strong, all a part of the one. Breathe in the life of the rose. Feel its wonder and glory. Smell its fragrance. Enjoy your oneness with all of creation. It is all there just for you. And you're it. This, I hope you don't mind, but I find your daily quotes very inspirational. I read them religiously. Yeah, I would hope that sometime you might even call in and read one of them yourself. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left here before I'm going to be booted off the airwaves because nobody's calling in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you one more poem. And this poem, once again, is by, well, hold up. Let's see. Did I even bring it along? I might have to look for this. That would be sad because I really enjoyed this other poem. And I might not have brought it with me. Okay. Well, I'll leave you with this, folks. This was a poem I wrote when I was 16 years old. I don't know what it says, what its purpose is, but when I wrote it, after the ending sentence, I kind of got an idea what it meant to me. And generally, I don't have a clue until the poem's actually written. The poem just goes in my mind and through my hand, and my mind doesn't have a chance to think about it before I actually have written it. So, here goes. The light from a small flickering flame shines out in a brilliant array, alluring all eyes to its glow, consuming the dark as it goes. But on, far away in the night, it quickens in quivering delight, eager to battle the dark, but in hunger devours its light. Folks, it has been my pleasure to bring you this show from the Cosmic Poet. I love you all. You are me and I am you. And I hope that I get to hear from you in the future. Remember, I'm going to be here every Thursday, so you're not going to be able to escape me. Give me a call the next time I'm here. Next Thursday, 8 to 9 p.m. Thank you, folks, and good night.
Seconds before he gets
it. You think so? I don't know. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.